Okay, we're going to move on now to the difficult issue of actually calculating the values, the cash equivalents, to go onto the P11D form. And this is where we do the A to N, not the A to Z, the A to N of P11Ds. Basic principles first. The P11D employer director is taxed on the basis of the cost, and that is the cost to the employer, or it could be the cost to any third-party provider. If some third party other than the employer provides a benefit to an employer director by virtue of their employment or office, then it is a reportable benefit, likely to go on to a P11D. P9D employees, those who earn below £8,500, the basic principle is the second-hand value of the benefit provided. Have they been provided with a benefit that has a second-hand value? We also have specific legislation dealing with certain expense payments and benefits. The most common one, company cars and car fuel benefit. People know them as scale charges, not based on the cost to the employer at all. Then we have company vans, the standard charge. I'll explain that more later, but specific legislation to determine, not based on cost. And live-in accommodation. Live-in accommodation provided by virtue of the employment. Again, we'll cover it a little later, but specific legislation, as indeed there is for vouchers. Okay, first one we come across are assets transferred, Section A of the P11D. It's a brown box. It's a Class 1A item. If there is a benefit to be reported, there will be a Class 1A National Insurance liability to be paid by the employer. Generally covers cars, property, goods, etc. If the employer transfers goods to the employee, gives them or sells them, and they are in-house goods, then the value for the P11D should be the marginal cost of the goods provided, so what it costs the employer to make those goods, not the retail price. The most common entry on a P11D should be the car that's sold to an employer director. And the price that goes on the P11D, the cash equivalent, has to be the market value of the car. It's not the book value in the company's books. And this is an area that the revenue are very hot on, very careful to look at, and often recover monies because employers have put the wrong value down. So watch that one. With certain benefits, such as the use of a company boat or even helicopters and planes, you have to be careful as to whether the asset was used as a benefit previously. And then we've got some items that you might think of going here on the P11D, but they don't. And that is the awards of readily convertible assets, which aren't reportable on a P11D. It's an issue to do with PAYE and Class 1 National Insurance contributions. And there are different returns to P11Ds that deals with shares and share options that are readily convertible assets. Next section on the P11D, Section B, payments made by the employer on behalf of the employee. A blue section, no Class 1A National Insurance liability. So if there's National Insurance due on this, it's going to be Class 1 National Insurance. In year, it could be the employer paying the employee's credit card bill, the employer paying the employee's school fees for the children. And we're doing the P11D and we put in an entry on there for school fees, then we've got to ask the question, was Class 1 National Insurance paid? If not, we potentially have got a problem. Another item to be included within Section B is tax on notional payments. This is where there have been shares, share benefits, options that have been exercised at a profit, and the employer was required to operate pay-as-you-earn, deduct income tax and national insurance, and the employee or director has to make good the amounts that were due from the employer director within 90 days of the payment by the employer. Failure to do that, it's an additional employment income benefit that has to be reported on Section B of the P11D. Now Section C, again a blue item, vouchers or credit cards, no Class 1A. Requirement to report the value of any vouchers and credit card payments. Could be expenses using a credit cards or tokens, but only amounts that haven't been reported elsewhere. Fuel cards, credit cards with company cars, reported within Section F company cars. Exclude if pay-as-you-earn is applied, that's a basic principle. And one item that might go here is qualifying childcare vouchers. There is tax relief on the first £55 a week. If the employer provides vouchers for more than £55 a week, the excess, but only the excess, will be reported at Section C of the P11D. Next section, Section D, live-in accommodation, a brown box item, Class 1A National Insurance liability, if there's a taxable benefit. Two methods of charge here: the basic charge, which is the greater of the annual value, often known as the gross rateable value of the property. It could be the rent paid by the employer if this is higher than the gross rateable value, and you deduct from the basic charge any rent paid by the employer director for the use of the accommodation. Then we have an additional charge, which is based on the cost or market value of any living accommodation over £75,000. So if a property is worth £475,000, take off the £75,000 and you're going to have a charge on the £400,000. The charge is based on the official rate of interest on the first day of the tax year, which for 2006-07 was 5%. So you'd have £400,000, the excess over £75,000, charged at 5%, an additional £20,000 benefit. Now, job-related accommodation may be exempt. Accommodation provided for the necessary and proper performance of the duties, such as a caretaker living in a house or lodge on the school or on the estate, would be exempt from the accommodation charge. Accommodation provided for the better performance and where it's customary in the industry to provide accommodation is also exempt, but we need to watch this one. In the past, the hotel industry and the nursing home industry, shall I call it, used to provide accommodation, hotels for general managers and deputy general managers and the like. Nowadays, it's accepted that it's not customary. So if there is living accommodation, it may be a case of saying, do we have evidence to say this is accepted as exempt by HMRC? Do we need to check it out? The third leg of exemption for job-related accommodation is where there is a security threat and arrangements. This is the only exemption that can apply to a Companies Act director of a company. It's a little unusual and it needs to be looked at carefully. But in terms of living accommodation, one thing that we mustn't forget are the ancillary costs. If the accommodation is exempt as job-related accommodation, the cost of the council tax, water rates, not taxable at all. But the cost of light and heat, if met by the employer, the provision of furniture by the employer, the cost of redecoration by the employer will be an additional benefit that needs to be reported elsewhere on the P11D.